All right, this is where I lose some of you, maybe. It'll be a bridge too far. I need to present a little bit of backstory for what I want to talk about, and I'll try to keep it short. I know that's always a hardly delivered. It's been 6 months, just like your dental appointment. Your cleaning is due. I think I was with you last in January, but again, I've always said, if I really don't have anything to rant or say or things that I've researched that are new, I'm just not interested in posting material out there to create a following or anything like that. This is more of me sitting around a table with a small circle of friends and the safety of being able to throw out crazy theories, ideas, and go deep. Not everything pans out. And needless to say, most of my content recently has been about Ron Bublitz's calendar research and his conclusions, which are basically 6 day, 7 day, or a day is 1,000 years theory, and his research in the calendar, and most recently throwing out some supplemental info on Enoch, have picked up from his writings. Ron's presentation on Enoch is a very nice circumstantial supplement or complement to his previous work on the Jewish calendar. So I'm going back to visit this because it is where my eyes are today and what I'm looking at and what I digest and think about privately. Again, this is stuff up until I started this, I didn't share it with anybody. It was just stuff I pondered and decided to just start throwing it out there to see if anybody else was thinking around the same things. But first, the backstory, and this is where, you know, maybe a bridge too far for some of you. Again, not trying to win anybody over. You do your own research. I start out with a question of what we have been experiencing for the last 6 to 7 years, and essentially 2017-ish around Trump's election. And during that time, I was coming out of, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know. It was an extended period of time where at one point I was a heavy Fox News watcher. I just grew tired of hearing the give and take of, you know, quote, balanced reporting and all that stuff, because it never produced anything. And it was pretty boring after a while. All it did was get you riled up. Now, that doesn't mean I tuned out of politics as far as I wasn't going to vote or anything like that. I was still an educated voter. I was just disconnecting, disengaging from the news. And Fox really was all that I was watching. Even back then, there wasn't any alternative that was worth watching. All the MSNBC and CNN had already gone off the rails. Not far, based on where they are now, relative to where they are. I mean, now we know they're pure propagandists, so they don't report any truth whatsoever. I don't even know if you can take the opposite of what they report, because because at one point they were just completely biased. Now they're pure propagandist voice of an element of the state. So anyway, the backstory. During that time, I'd kind of disengaged from politics, but I was still kind of aware, like I said. And during the campaign for 2016, between Trump and Hillary, you know, it was like, ain't no way voting for Hillary, no matter what. But I still wasn't paying that close attention to the details of Trump's campaign. I was aware enough to know that the mainstream media absolutely loved him. We had watched his TV shows, I forgot the name of them now, but where he fires everybody. We had watched those over the years, and I noticed that the media absolutely fawned over him until he declared his candidacy, and then the daggers came out, and I was paying enough attention to notice that change, and that I was puzzled by it, because I thought they really liked him and would at least give him a fair shot because he was a, quote, outsider. So thought that was weird and just kind of filed that away and is elected. And still his first year, I was kind of disengaged from the day-to-day, but I did notice, man, the press hated him, absolutely hated him, even more so now. But during that time, I guess later in late 2017 is where I just became more aware of the instances and the levels that they would go to, the media, to change his words, edit everything, cut stuff out, and make him say things that he actually wasn't saying. And so I would see that, and I especially the Chancellorsville stuff and other speeches where they would claim, you know, look, he's, you know, he says he supports Nazis, and no fool would do such a thing. As I would see the comparison of the clips, I'd be like, holy cow. I mean, that's beyond evil what some editor might do. And now we know exactly who they are. During that time, I've presented to you in the past how I kind of research Bible prophecy, and that's primarily YouTube and other video platforms and obscure Kindle book. What I mean is I'm looking for people that present positions that have evidence or scripture as evidence behind their alternative Bible prophecy positions. I want to hear them out, see what they have to say, and does it make sense? Is it, first off, can scripture support it? And if it does, follow its conclusions. And I'll tell you, often what I ran into and still do, I still use this, primarily the majority of people in the prophecy realm, they're pre-trib, they present stuff that isn't supported by scripture. Sorry, pre-tribbers. I mean, and I always preface my comments that are negative about pre-tribbers and preterists and all that and say, you know, you may be right, but scripture does not clearly support your position. So if you're right, what's the point of doing any Bible research at all, any scriptural searching and study at all, if what is a logical conclusion doesn't pan out? Generally, I'll find somebody that presents some really cool new non-mainstream evidence, but I might disagree with their summary or conclusions because they'll ultimately either end up in a pre-trib position and, you know, they're looking for Jesus to come back tomorrow. And I just don't see it based on what the majority of scripture, as you read it in context, lay it out and let it speak for itself and stay out of translators bias, stay out of the way of people who've got a million bookseller out of that influence, and just see what scripture is telling you, and it's not leading that direction. So what I would often do is take that evidence and apply it, like overlay what I believed at that point in time, and I do change. You've got to have no ego in this. You've got to go where the truth takes you, even if you disagree with it. If scripture says something you disagree with, you've got to go there. If that's what the original language truly is stating, no matter what the church, I would say Christianity, is preaching. So I would take what they've got, overlay it on what I was currently thinking in that day, and refine it and all that. So that's how, you know, I spend a lot of time on YouTube and in those obscure Kindle books. I've bought 1,000 Kindle books at 99 cents, $2 or $3, you know, for a book, because I'm looking for the needle in the haystack, because I'm now convinced truth, real truth, not surface truth, but real truth is not coming from any majority view. Sorry, Bible scholars and all that. In fact, most biblical scholars have disdain for the perspectives of laymen because we're not educated enough or whatever, at least in my perception. Even biblical prophecy scholars, you know, they scoff at anybody who is in a camp of watchfulness or in a mode that is genuinely looking for Christ's return. Even if we don't think it's imminent, they you know, you're in that scoffing category. You are scoffed at by them, as Hal said. In my research, I was watching some Bible prophecy conference, and I heard several of the speakers mention Q on a message board or whatever, and maybe I'd encountered it before, did not research it, I knew nothing about it, but started hearing it over and over. It was around Christmas of 2018. I have generally get 2 weeks off during that time frame, and I went through every single Q drop. And at that time, there was probably 1,000 to 1,500. And I read them like 3 times front to back. And very interesting. A lot of it is, you know, very wishful thinking. Like you see your political, corrupt political entities being held accountable and things like that. And hopefully they are one day. There's no evidence yet. But there are other things that, you know, the critics look at it and go, ah, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And my response to them, to the critics, would be there's certainly information in there that should create doubt or ambiguity. You certainly could not use the Q drops to look for future events, maybe in generalities, but nothing specifically, and like we often do in Bible prophecy. There was nothing in the drops that any reasonable human being would say, oh, it's all true, or it's all false. You, like Bible prophecy, and really like any truth, whether it's medical, biological, historical, false flags, did I say that? All that kind of stuff. You've got to be able to pick the meat off the bones, and you can't be gullible, but with evidence, there's certainly often enough circumstantial evidence that you can form conclusions that go against what mainstream says. And I don't mean just news. I mean mainstream culture, our friends and family that maybe not aware of what is happening around us as some of you. So anyway, I hear this Bible guy or a speaker talking about cue this, cue that. I read through the drops 2 or 3 times and I tell my wife about it. I'm like, you need to see this. This is crazy. So it took really maybe another year before she was drawn into it. She got in by seeing evidences, and she kind of came in at a different direction. With that, we became pretty hardcore observers of the drops, and up and now there's like 4,400, 4,500 drops. They came all the way up through the 2020 election, and then I don't believe there's been any in the last couple of years, but there was enough there to fill someone with some hope that there was justice being handed out or would be handed out over time or had been happening. But in the Q drops, one of the things that was stated was you're watching a movie, you are seeing things play out and all that. And I don't mean everything's fake. It's more of an awareness campaign. If they're true, I do think there is evidence to support that position. I'm not going to call anybody crazy. However, not everything that is on the edges of it can be supported and can't be, you know, we all know everything on the internet has to be taken with a grain of salt. And as with all the alternative Bible prophecy ideas and theories. So again, you've got to use discernment, and you've got to be able to form a supported conclusion. I mean, you don't have to, but you're wasting your time if you don't. This is getting to where I wanted to take you. And I led with Ron Bublitz's videos because he presents that one day is 1,000 years, and Ron presents a very meticulous calendar and a lot of work that he did 15 years ago, and he's kind of done more work recently, but this wasn't something he did very recently. to me, the fact that he did this about 15 years ago privately and just sat on it lends authenticity, and it, to, I can't describe it, but to me, this is where and how real truth is found and presented. It's the journey I've seen more truth take than not. And not saying that it's all true, but I think it is well supported, and it's the best case for what we know right now, the light that we have right now. So anyway, there have been others, and you know, probably many others, who've supported the 1 day is 1,000 years, 7,000 years. We're approaching the end of day six. And so there's always been this debate over when is that sixth day ending, and a lot of theories on that. And most people are within a given range. And what Ron has done is, you know, really hardcore research the calendar and presents a very good case for the 70th week commencing in 2025, ending in 2032. And the reason I look at Ron's work more than anybody's is because, to my knowledge, he's my small realm. He's the only one who has presented the reason why there's been this like 2,000 year gap. The best explanation of it for me, why there's a 2,000 year gap from the all the prophecies of Daniel's 70 weeks until now, and it doesn't look like somebody just making an excuse to make 2025 or, you know, our recent time a couple of years back or forward. Everybody goes 2030, yeah, that means 2023 is the start. Well, they're guessing because they're all in that same ballpark, but nobody can answer, well, what do you do with the 2,000 years since about Christ, about now? And Ron's reasoning via scripture is the Israelites did not serve their judgment as God prescribed. And he told them, if you don't, it's going to be multiplied by seven times. And so Ron does the math and sure does look like it fits. Now, I am sobered by how close we are. I am fascinated by it. I am very, very watchful privately. This isn't anything you can tell your friends. I mean, you know what I mean. I've been through this like 38, 39 episodes ago, but even in, if anybody's in church today, still, you know, they're by far in the minority. And if you were to speak of Bible prophecy, you know, probably going to get eye rolls and things like that. It's church, I'll say Christianity, Sunday school is no longer a safe space to talk about anything like this. I mean, you sit and you're told what to think. And I guess I shouldn't criticize Christianity so much, because this is the same way we're dealt with in medicine and everything that we, in politics for sure. Any authority that has postgraduate degrees attached to it, you, an undegreed layman, if you possibly think that you could research the Bible on your own with eSword and YouTube and other things because you don't know Greek or Hebrew, if you think you can do that work, you're crazy. And so often you're ostracized. So bringing it back to the backstory of Q and where we are, and if you are following along in my journey, I'll just mention devolution. If you know what that means, you know what I mean. If not, just move on. Describing the state of our government right now, if you are where I am, and my very, very, very small circle of friends and family, is that our current government is in a state of continuity rather than what it was founded to be operating in. I think there's evidence in executive orders. There's evidence in the behaviors of people that we have seen in news that is not in the mainstream. You probably have to be on Rumble to see anything of value. And again, you got to pick the meat off the bones, spit out the bones, because there's a lot of overreach out there. But with that, there is hope, and I'm not going to call it hopium because that's a negative word, but evidence, I should say, that should give someone hope that our government is in a process of being restored somewhat back to what it was founded to be, in transparency and not career politicians and things like that. Now, along with that, there are millions that rally behind this hope that, you know, God wins. And there are some that are quick to say, hey, look, it's not that God's on our side. It's because we're on his side. And, you know, God certainly wins, but you may not win in the temporary. It's going to be in the absolute. And so who's to know what the near and far future of our government or your government around the world, wherever you are, is? Who can know? And we will only know by looking back. And so there's this, the reason for the whole backstory stuff is because Ron presents a lot of evidence that we should all have our eyes looking from now up until 2025 for events, if we can ever get a news media that will present some news. Right now, there's absolutely none. You can't believe anything you see, especially Ukraine, and I don't even know what to believe in France on Twitter, because so much can be faked, and we know that we have no reporters out there. The only way you might know is if you have a close relative or friend somewhere that says, I can confirm XYZ. Then you know something's happening. But until then, all you can do is sit and wait and watch and look back. You can't react to the news because you don't know that that's actually happening. It's stupid how difficult it is to determine what's real and what isn't. Now apply that to the 70th week and how scary that gets. So anyway, looking at Ron's work, our eyes should be on 2025 and leading up to that. If it doesn't happen, okay, we're moving on, but we're not setting a date. This is the latest, best supported theory that we have at the moment. And until the next thing comes along, we're just being watchful and not setting dates or anything. But I do appreciate the work he's put in. This wasn't trivial. And he wasn't just taking a bunch of numbers and throwing them against the wall. If you go through all his videos, and I'm going to watch a couple of them over the July 4th break and refresh the minutiae of his work. But when you do that, you will appreciate the degree that he went to search this out. And again, he did this 15 years ago. It wasn't that he did this to sell a book. He sat on it. And now that he's producing more videos, I love them, Enoch Work and the 10 Weeks Prophecy, he brings great evidence to that. Or I should say, a very complimentary circumstantial drop of evidence to that. Again, you should always be hammering on your own theories and others. And that's why I've watched his over and over and over and over, because I want to see if he missed anything, if I've missed anything. Always in software, my background, you want to fail fast. That's what agile is. That's their catchphrase, fail fast. What that means is you want to get your product out in front of your customer as quickly and as soon as possible so that they can go hate it or love it, or tweak this, tweak that. You're doing very short-term iterations so that you don't spend a year working on something and you drop it in front of them and they go, what is this? So likewise in prophecy, you want to hammer on it. Anything in the Bible that you've come to a conclusion on, it's open for debate in your heart. You've got to hammer on it because you don't, I guess, The only thing we know that the translators might not have biased is the cross of Christ. And everything outside, everything out, it radiates outside of that. And so that is the sword in the stone that's not coming out. Everything else is a stake in the sand. Everything. And so I plead with you, don't let authorities and translators tell you what to think. Go where your heart leads. And for people who say, oh, you can't trust your heart. Again, I know the Psalms say the heart is this and that. But let me tell you what Paul says. Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Now, you can live a life of, well, I can't trust my heart and blah, and I'm a worm and blah, blah, blah. You're always one step ahead of God's whip or whatever. But counter that with the hundreds of times that God brags and anyone who's ever encountered God brags about his mercy, his grace, his kindness. Off track, but I will close with this. I've tried to keep this to Bible prophecy, the 40 episodes, and it's hard. It's frustrating to see how God is represented in Christianity. Let me tell you, if God requires anything from you, hear me. He will either provide it for you, produce it in you, or through you. So if you think you've got to gin up something in order to stay in His grace, you've missed it. Unfortunately, you've missed it. It'll be a great reacquaintance with the God you thought you knew. Let me tell you, He is truly the master of the cattle on a thousand hills. The great shepherd, the good Samaritan. You know, we spend our lives in church and all these parables are taught to us from our perspective. You got to do this. You got to be that. Who's your neighbor? The same questions that the Pharisees were asking. Who's our neighbor? All along, Christ is the good Samaritan unto us, binding us with oil and the wine, and binding our wounds. And ultimately, we've got to quit applying the Bible to us and see that it is truly His story that He's producing through us, revealing through us, but ultimately, God revealed in Christ. And if that isn't the most exciting thing, so trust your gut. You have the mind of Christ. You should have discernment. Don't fear. You have the mind of Christ. I'll see y'all later.